The Catholics of Oz is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to episode 22 of The Catholics of Oz. Catholics of Oz is a show where we discuss faith, culture, and what's been happening from an Aussie perspective. Whether it's synods or science, apostolates and apps, providence or productivity, you can hear it right now on The Catholics of Oz. Hello and welcome to episode 22 of The Catholics of Oz, our penultimate episode because this is the second last one that we're recording for 2019. I've got a lot of great stuff to talk about today. But before I continue, I have my superior sibling, Caroline Knight. Caroline, how are you today?
Very well. Thank you for the acknowledgement of me being superior to you.
Well, I mean,
it's not like you let
me get away with anything else.
Yeah. Nevertheless, I'll take it.
Good to have you on to discuss today. All right, so before we get into our topics, we just want to remind everyone that you can like the Catholics of Oz on SQPN's Facebook page. You can retweet our episodes on Twitter, leave us comments, and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, or your other favorite podcast apps. We're also on YouTube. If you just look for the SQPN channel on YouTube, you can just hit the bell and get notifications when new episodes of The Catholics of Oz and other SQPN shows come out. If you leave us feedback on iTunes or any other podcast directories, it's a big favor to us because it helps us to share the podcast with other people and to grow our community and to reach more people. So with that, let's get started with Faith Beyond Borders.
Well, I'm actually feeling rather good about this. I think we've all arrived at a very special place, eh? Spiritually, ecumenically.
How do you make somebody love you without affecting free will?
Welcome to my world, son. You come up with an answer to that one, you let me know.
Yes, I had to work very hard to pass Latin and theology.
Oh, quite. Those are, of course, the most important things.
Oh, yeah.
I'd sit this one out, Cap.
I don't see how I can.
These guys come from legend. They're basically gods.
There's only one god, man. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that.
Now, Caroline, I can remember in episode one, I made a confession, and that was that Avril Lavigne had put out a song.
Oh, yes.
And I actually liked it.
Yeah.
and I was stunned because it was a song about her own faith journey, if you remember. And
yeah.
She had been suffering from a disease for a while. I forgot what it was now. But anyway, the point of the song was about how God got her through that difficult time. And we had a discussion. I remember you, me, and Jared having a discussion about about artists, you know, musical artists, finding God or talking about God in, you know, very explicit ways in their mainstream music. And Caroline, I'm going to do it again. I never thought I would say this, Caroline, but I actually really like Kanye West's new album. I've been aware of Kanye West and, you know, I know that he's a talented musician and rapper and everything. And I tried listening to some of his music. So I remember there was one where he was kind of like a mashup of a Daft Punk song, you know, the harder, better, faster, stronger, a couple of whatever adjectives that was it, verbs I should say that was it they used. Yep. No, they're adjectives. Anyway, moving on before I get that wrong. They're a bit of both. Anyway, the point is, I started listening to that song and then 30 seconds in, I was like, oh, this is a bit sweary. I might just, a lot of cussing going on.
Yes.
So, yeah. And that's kind of one of the barriers that I've kind of had, I guess, with a bit of rap music is that, you know, you take the good with the bad, but, you know, some of the bad's pretty explicit. And in fact, when I was looking at Kanye's albums on iTunes, all of them had that little E for explicit next to it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Can't listen to that one on the Amazon Echo in the lounge room, you know. But anyway, the point I'm trying to get at here is that I was knocked sideways by the content of his latest album because it is all about God and it's all about, I guess, his turning to God. He uses gospel music and gospel musicians, and I was shocked at the way I'd put it. I couldn't believe what I was listening to and I couldn't believe I was enjoying myself as well. So what about you? What were your impressions of Kanye West's album?
I have a confession to make also. I love it.
Well, it's a Catholic podcast. It's the great place to do it. Yeah.
I love this album. Look, I have always kind of liked rap anyway, like as one of the genres of music. Not that I could actually listen to it as well, because the same reason, it's quite explicit and I can't listen to it with my children around because I don't want them hearing, you know, that kind of thing. So
right.
I have been searching for some kind of rap that I could listen to because I really enjoy the beats. I really enjoy the music. You know, my kids and I like having to dance around the house to good music. So when I put this on, I thought, oh my goodness, this is not only does it sound good, but it resonates with me. What he's saying really resonates with me. It's kind of, you know, it's all about God and how God changed his life and how he's turned to God now. And it's just really fun. Like Frankie loves to dance anyway. We would dance around the house to it. And he's like, oh, you know, we listened to the album through a few times and then he didn't want to stop listening. So I gave him I've got a little Bluetooth speaker and he took it in his room and I could feel safe, you know, knowing, you know, he's listening to this album and it's completely fine to listen to. So Lindsay, I was completely shocked that I was going to love it too because I put it on. I use Amazon Music, so I put it on and I thought, okay, let's just have a listen. What's it going to be like? No, I love it. I have to say, whether I'm, you know, going to be cool or not for saying that, I don't care. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually really curious about the reaction that would be to it. So I looked at review sites and, you know, the reviews were mixed. So, you know, fair enough, because I think it's probably a little bit confronting for, you know, for more secular, you know, review sites and whatever. So suddenly they're reviewing a rapper that they've reviewed maybe five or six other albums of, and suddenly they're trying to get their heads around the fact that this is a Christian album. So they stuck really with the artistic style of the music, and they're saying, you know, some of this is good and some of this not so much. But here's what I think is a really good exercise for a lot of people to do, is if you go and listen to individual songs from this new album on YouTube, a lot of the comments are things like, I can't believe I'm getting down to, you know, to Christian rap music.
Yes.
I can't believe I'm enjoying lyrics about Jesus, you know, coming out of Kanye West's mouth, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, in a way, I mean, this is totally a Faith Beyond Borders, because we have this, you know, Grammys, I think, you know, Hollywood personality married to Kim Kardashian. So you've got the big names and
you
all
can't
that,
get
whatever.
Bigger than him, really. You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not only is it the album, but he did instead of calling it Carpool Karaoke, they called it Airpool Karaoke. I don't know if you saw this, but he did a version of it with James Corden. Where instead of being in a car, they were on an aeroplane, and on a flight from one, you know, state in the United States to the other, they had a whole gospel choir filling up the plane with Kanye, and they were singing songs, and he was rapping, and, you know, James Corden is getting into it. And the thing is, though, as there were interviews, you know, in between, you know, he'd be asking questions in between, and Kanye was talking all about his faith, about Jesus, the whole lot. He wasn't afraid at all to mention anything. And then I've seen that there were interviews on some other American talk shows that he's been on, where it's the same thing. The content has been, he's just been very explicit about his faith. And it seems like the reception to that hasn't been too bad, that it's actually been a fairly positive reception to what he's been saying.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a few interviews as well. So there was one, there's an official Apple Music interview that I watched some of. I didn't get to watch it all because it was about 2 hours long. But, yeah, he was talking about his life and had no problem integrating Jesus and God and how it's influenced him in his life and how it's kind of just part of his life now. Whatever he does, he's doing the work of God. And, you know, God has done this for me and I'm doing this for God. So it's like it's completely integrated into his life. And I saw another one where he went to Joel Osteen's church. So he's a evangelical pastor, one of the mega churches there. And I really enjoyed that talk as well. He was, you know, being interviewed. You know, Kanye was talking about his journey and how he came to where he is now. And, you know, you can, I guess you can easily be a bit skeptical of where he's got to because of his past life, you know. Everything was drinking, drugs, women, you know, just fashion, just everything materialistic. And it's easy to go, oh, yeah, this isn't going to last, you know, or, you know, this might just be something to, you know, for him to appeal to a new, you know, section of society, maybe, you know, getting to the Christian music side, you know, where there is a big following. But like you said, when you saw him being interviewed and then when I saw him being interviewed, he's so comfortable talking about God. And, you know, it kind of puts me to shame in a way because I still sometimes feel a little bit embarrassed, you know, when you talk, you don't just want to say, oh, yeah, Jesus helped me, you know, it was thank God. It was, you know, someone says, oh, you're so talented at this, and you know, I just want to say, well, it wasn't me, it was God. But you just go, oh yeah, thanks. You know, so but he's just go, yeah, it's God. God gave this to me. I'm doing this for God. So yeah, that's amazing. But I have to say, I think that he does still feel a little bit criticized and a little bit conscious by some people of his new way of life. I mean, if you look at the lyrics, like there's one song called Hands On, which I really liked, but there's a couple of lyrics here that say, you know, told people Jesus is my mission. What have you been hearing from the Christian? They'd be the first one to judge me, make it seem like nobody loved me. You know, sorry about my rapping, but like.
Word, like, Caroline, word.
He's still, I'm totally down.
Right, but into my soul there.
But like you can tell that he still feels like he's not fully accepted, and not by everyone else, by Christians themselves. And I think that maybe some of them can be quite, well, us, you know, we can be quite judgmental of him, you know, like we've been Christian all our lives. So who's this guy coming in now, just taking over, going, well, Jesus is my Lord and I am going to accept him and he is part of my life now. It's like, okay, So I can understand, you know, why he'd probably feel like that. And, but, you know, I think this is a wonderful thing. And I really hope that, you know, he continues on this journey and he develops more. And who knows, maybe he may even make the step over into Catholic Church, because the way
crossing the Tiber, as they call it,
totally. I mean, maybe his culture, it's more an evangelical type of Christian culture, but I mean, the way he speaks, I don't think he's too far off, you know, to be honest. And if I can just mention another song that resonated with me too, one called Water. Like, it was kind of, it's so beautiful. In the middle, he does this rap litany, sort of, about Jesus. Yep. I love it. Do you mind if I kind of read it
out? Go ahead.
Go ahead. As well. But I just...
Let the people hear it, Caroline.
Here's my rapping skills. But, like, it's like, Jesus, flow through us. Jesus, heal bruises. Jesus, clean the music. Jesus, please use us. Jesus, please help. Jesus, please heal. Jesus, please forgive. Jesus, please reveal. Jesus, give us strength. Jesus, make us well. Jesus, help us live. Jesus, give us wealth. Jesus is our safe. Jesus is our rock. Jesus, give us grace. Jesus, keep us safe. I mean, isn't that from the heart?
It's a prayer. It's a prayer, isn't it?
It's beautiful. I just thought it means that's his personal prayer, but like I think we can really relate to that as well. And it actually, you know, Brett made me feel quite emotional to hear him praying like that. And I love litanies anyway. That's just, you know, I love to pray them when I can. So for me, I just thought, wow, that's just amazing. So he has made from here, like the interview I heard him on the Apple Music, I think he asked him, how long has your life been changed? And he said, oh, since about April. And it's like, that's such a short amount of time. Yes. And he's gained such an amount of wisdom in such a short amount of time. He blows me out of the water for sure. So, like, yeah, I Yeah, you can tell that I really love this album.
Yeah. In his interview with James Corden that I referred to before, he was asked, so, you know, what's a typical night in the family home, you know, with you and Kim Kardashian? What is your family getting up to? And he said, we try to live like a normal family. You know, we do what we need to for the kids, put the kids to bed. And he says, then we sit down in bed. And he said, Kim is watching Dateline while I'm reading the Bible. So, it happens. I think when people, especially when they're very, very new to faith, the Bible, especially from that more evangelical position, they do dive into the Bible and they quote it quite well. They have a pretty good knowledge of it. There was a song, it's called Use This Gospel, and I found that one really moving.
Isn't that beautiful?
Because, yeah, it's got two things going on. It's got, you know, Kanye singing that refrain over and over again about use the gospel for protection. He says it's a hard road to heaven. It sounds that sounds almost like Catholic theology in a sense that we can't just assume heaven, that we're granted heaven, that we have to do the work to cooperate with God's grace and all, and that's not an easy journey. And in between, there's another rapper, I forgot who it was there, but this guy is singing about his past and how, you know, he sold drugs and then he praised himself for it. You know, he said things like, there were a lot of lives damaged, I damaged those. And then he says, and then I took a camera pose. You know, there's all this, there's all this repentance going on.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that was a draw card for me was there throughout this album, there's so much repentance going on.
Yes.
You know, there's even one of the songs where Kanye is talking about his relationship with his father and how he could have been better to his father, you know, like how he made up with him. But I think the repentance is one of the strongest things. There's that humbling, I guess, that, you know, when you get into a relationship with God, it doesn't matter how big you are, you're humbled. And, you know, and Kanye is, you know, big in terms of, if we talk about fame, fortune, and all those other things, the humbling that he's received and accepted from his relationship, I think is a powerful witness. There were questions because, a lot of Catholics are saying, you know, this is awesome. You know, like I saw on Facebook, you know, Catholic friends going, who's listening to Kanye right now?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, me too. Who's, you know, all that. So there's that excitement about it, which is good. Some have raised but what if this is just a temporary thing? What happens if there's this album, but then he goes back to into the past and whatever else? And look, my answer to that is like, so I'm going to reveal a bit more about myself. There's another guy who raps called Lecrae. I don't know if you've heard of him at all, but he's a Christian rapper and some of his lyrics have resonated with me as well. He's got some really beautiful songs, but he was in an interview and they said same question, what happens if Kanye goes south, if it goes the wrong way? And he said, this album, regardless of what Kanye does with the rest of his life, this album is beautiful. It's the gospel. There's nothing wrong with listening to it. I almost think it's unfair to ask what happens if he goes one way or another, because are we putting too much expectation on him? We shouldn't be raising him as our idol and model of faith and things like that.
No, that's true.
Maybe what we should be doing is saying, here is a brother, you know, in Christ who's coming to faith, you're another human being made in God's image who's coming to faith, and let's pray for him that he deepens his faith, he goes further and further into it, and the truth of it unfolds more and more into it in his life.
Exactly.
And that God does guide him along that journey, that he listens to the voice of God. Because guess what? Kanye is still going to be capable of sin and do wrong things and whatever else, just like you and me and just like everyone who's listening and every other human being on the planet. That's just who we are. But what we do with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ is we encourage, and when, you know, when sin becomes an issue, we're there to help people move out of that. One of the beautiful things he's done with this, I think anyway, is that because the album is called Jesus is King, and he's been having, and my students actually were telling me about this, he's been having these Sunday services as well, and they're not church services, they're not meant to be seen as church services, but they're, he kind of describes them as healing services, in the sense that that people can come, whoever they are, like he's had Hollywood celebrities and other people turn up as well, and just have an encounter with God, you know, like and experience that healing of, you know, of some of the doubts, the worries, the things that they blame themselves for, and the things that they've done in the past. Yeah, now we would talk about the sacrament of confession being, you know, the way to really go for that. But at least it's a first step for people who have no idea about how, you know, how it works, you know, how God's presence is. At least he puts God on the map. And he's done that with so many people because he's got such a big reach. And I think that's been one of the amazing things about this. And this is why he gets our Faith Beyond Borders segment today.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, it's been kind of cool to see this kind of happen, you know. And I mean, and on the fact of, like, you know, maybe he will stumble a little bit. I mean, we all do, don't we? I mean,
yes.
I think the more you try and deepen your faith, I think the more that you kind of get attacked from the other side, because the other side don't like it, you know.
Yeah.
And but I do like his, you know, his, like you were saying, his repentance, the theme of his album is repentance, but it's also defiance of the devil, because, like, defiance of sin that he has taken part in his past life. For example, I have just one more little lyric that I want to read that
I really
like. It's like, so he reads, he says, told the devil that I'm going on strike, told the devil when I see him on sight, I've been working for you my whole life, told the devil that I'm going on strike, I've been working for you my whole life. So he recognizes where he's been, and he knows now he doesn't want to be there anymore. He has turned his back. And, like, good on him for doing that, and good on him for saying it so publicly, you know. You know, if he falls, don't worry. He's had this experience now, and I think he'll turn back to it, you know. So let's just give him a little bit of, you know, little bit of room to explore this, and, you know, who knows, he hopefully he's going to stick on this path. Hopefully we're all going to stick on this path.
Yes,
it's not just him. You're right, it's a lot of pressure. It's not fair to put that on any one person who's just come into their faith and judge them for their past. So I'm on board with this. Go for it, Kanye. Stick with it and deepen your faith. That's what I think.
Yeah, and let's keep him in our prayers, and anyone else, you know, what about all those people who are not celebrities who are trying to work this out as well, and trying to work out if where God fits in their life as well. So we pray for all people who have those questions and who are trying to find God, or who need God. You know, all those people, we'll keep them in our, we'll ask everyone who's listening to keep them in their prayers as well.
Exactly. I mean, even my own husband, he's not a Catholic. He's not even really a practicing Christian. He just knows that there is a higher power, but he asks me questions all the time, and you know, we need to support people like that and encourage them. So, you know, we encourage and love them and help them on the way.
Yeah, you need to give him a copy of Kanye's album then.
Oh, he listened to it with me. And he actually really liked it. No, because you know, my husband's a musician, so you know, he can appreciate the music, and he's fully accepting of my Catholic faith. He's 100% on board with it. So I have no restrictions or whatever with it. So, like, he doesn't think that I'm an idiot or whatever for listening to Christian music.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And if anything, look, if anything that comes out of this, it's a great conversation starter, this album. So, so try have a listen to it, people, and see what you think. Actually, and I have to say, it won't take you long to listen to it, because it's actually about 27 minutes. I was really surprised by that. It's not very long at all. Some of the songs are quite short, but Yeah, it's just worth listening to get an idea of it anyway.
That's right.
And if you've got young kids, put it on, you know, play it on your Amazon Echo in your lounge room and have a dance with your children. Yeah. and they'll ask you questions too, and you can have a chat with them about faith.
Speaking of that, I think I sent you some text messages yesterday, didn't I? Harry,
yes, that's right. Yeah.
Harry, my youngest, who's just turned 5 not long ago. So he's been, because I've been putting this album on, and he's been hearing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So he's like coming up with these little comments going, Mummy, like, yes, Jesus is a superhero. I'm like, oh, yes, yes, he is. And like, then another silly thing, Mummy, Jesus didn't make me into a cat. I wanted to be a cat. Like, okay, Harry. So we've been having, you know, funny little 5-year-old brains with their funny little thoughts. But, you know, at least it's brought up for discussion on his level about Jesus, you know, because Harry, he's not very vocal. Like, he's still shy about making the sign of the cross and all of that. So at least with him, you know, in a weird way, Kanye's working in my son's life.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
to bring him to Jesus. But anyway.
Yeah.
But I thought, if it's okay, I might mention if Kanye's album's too short for you, there are a couple of other albums out there that I discovered before Kanye started all of this. So this is what through watching, you know, it's reality TV, which I'm sometimes do. But these were good. They weren't trashy.
Caroline, own it.
I own it. Okay. Yeah, I've watched some pretty bad. I've grown up now. I don't watch the really bad trash anymore. But so there's a couple. They're American ones, American shows as well. One's called Preachers of Atlanta, and another's Preachers of LA. And through watching those, I discovered two producer and rapper songwriters. One called Canton Jones and the other is Dietrich Haddon. If you look them up, they've got some really beautiful Kanye-esque type music. It's not Kanye, obviously. He's got his own style, but they are rap and R&B, you know, gospel type music. And they're so fun to dance to as well. So, like, there is a lot of music out there like this that we can actually listen to. So go for it. Yeah, enjoy.
Yeah. All right, thanks for that. All right, so we've had a much bigger discussion about Kanye than I thought, but yeah. Anyway, and we'd love to hear what you who are listening, have you gotten into his new album? What do you think about it too? So just send us your thoughts. So why don't we move on, Caroline, and let's get into a bit of discussion about your favorite topic, science.
Ah, what a fine day for science.
You have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Can you reverse the polarity?
I'll do my best.
So, for our science topic today, we're not going to go into specific sciencey things that are happening around the world like we normally do.
So there was a spacewalk. They've mapped Titan. I could list them all for you.
Yeah, Caroline. Yeah, Caroline's got them all ready to go. Yeah,
those are the recent ones.
but we wanted to talk about Brother Guy Consolmagno, who is a Jesuit brother who heads the Vatican Observatory. I hope I got all that right.
Yes, correct.
And the reason why is because he, in November, up until I think it was late October, early November, he went to Scotland and he was brought there by a group there called Grasping the Nettle, which is an interfaith Christian group, including Catholics as well, whose mission is to promote the relationship between faith and science. So basically, their kind of mission is to show how atheism isn't sufficient in explaining everything and how atheism hasn't really made the case that religion and science are against each other. It hasn't made the case successfully. So they all work together, including the Archdiocese of St. Andrews in Edinburgh as well, to bring him to Scotland. And he did kind of a speaking tour and went around talking to different people. But what got our attention was that there was a four-minute clip that was put on of part of an interview. It was most of the interview, not all of it. And he was on, it was a Scottish news channel being interviewed. Now that we're podcasting, I forgot what it was. I had it in my head before. Doesn't matter. But he was interviewed on television. That's the key thing. Talking about faith and science. And I wanted to thank Matthew Mead, who works in the Archdiocese of St. Andrews in Edinburgh, because he saw my retweet of his thing. I told him that we're Catholic podcasters from Australia, and he sent me a link to the interview, and he also sent me a press release from the Archdiocese and from Grasping the Nettle about what they were going to do. So just a shout out to Matthew to say thank you for that contribution. So Caroline, I might throw it to you first. From this interview, what were one or two of the things that he said that really stood out to you about the relationship between faith and science?
Well, I love how, first of all, Brother Guy is completely himself, really easygoing, and he has, to him, you know, science and religion kind of just work really well together. So, you know, when asked about, the Big Bang, you know, what happened there, You said, you know, well, God made the universe and science explained what happened, you know, how it happened, or, you know, can put a proposal about how it happened. And, you know, science is actually a good way to get to know God. And another thing that I really enjoyed when they asked him, you know, are you a religious scientist or a science religious? And he said, look, I'm just Brother Guy, and I love religion and I love science, and that's just who I am, you know. So for him, there's no conflict between religion and science. And, you know, he just, you know, science explains, it can explain God's creation. Well, religion is more like a philosophical view of the world, you know, and you can't have one without the other. Like, the Bible is not a scientific textbook, you know. We have a kind of explanation in Genesis about the creation, but it doesn't tell you how it happened, whereas a science book can kind of give you an idea of how it happened. And the thing is, too, science is always developing. You know, he said that the science now will be different to the science later. So you can't actually believe in science, because science isn't finite. It's always changing. So it's, you know, there are people who are kind of like, what is it, like scientism? They believe in science.
Yes.
But it's kind of, it's not reliable, how you say. It's, science isn't something, it's not a religion, it's nothing. It can only give you clues to what's happening. I remember that when I was studying my degree, and, you know, through all my science learning and reading, science, it's kind of never proves anything. It just kind of, you can, you know, put forward a theory, you do an experiment, and it says the answer is this. It probably happens this way. So you get an idea of how things happen in nature, chemical interactions and biological interactions and all of that kind of thing. Yeah, I think he explained it a lot better than I did.
There was one moment that that I thought that really struck me. It was a beautiful answer to the question. The question was something along the lines of, you know, after all the things you said, the interviewer said, so can science then, if there's such a good relationship between the two, can science prove religion? And he said, no. Going on that thought you said about science not necessarily proving anything, but he said, if science were to prove religion, it would make religion subservient to science, which is such an amazing way to talk about the relationship between the two. Because religion, you know, like you said, religion finds some of its discipline in the philosophy of the ages. It's not, it's more than philosophy, but certainly the philosophical way of thinking gives us access to the discussion of God as the transcendent, you know, open, beyond all things. If science were to prove God, then God would be inferior to science. So it doesn't make sense to say that God can be proved by science, because God is the creator of everything. God is outside the material. And one of his discussion points in the press release was that that the idea that faith and science are in conflict is a recent, you know, historically it's a recent invention. It's not a classical invention. It comes from recent times. And he said, and it's, you know, it's where some of the more sort of famous materialists, you know, the naturalists, you know, came up with ideas that science will tell us everything. You referred to as scientism before, and that religion therefore is you know, in conflict with science. But the problem is that they're doing what you know, people with a more fundamentalist view do, and they're reading everything literally. Like they read the Bible sometimes like fundamentalists do, and then tell us why the Bible is wrong. Except that, you know, they're missing the point about how, you know, about, at least in the Catholic Church, about how we go about scriptural interpretation. Because you've got to be sensitive to genre, you've got to be sensitive to history, you've got to be sensitive to so many, like, you know, to literature, to so many different things in order to be able to interpret scripture carefully. So you can't just waddle along one day and say, yeah, science just disproved that, because what is it you're actually trying to say? Yeah. So what I love about the way he answers questions, like you said, though, he's not defensive. He's not trying to defend anything. He's just explaining something. And he's a classic example of a person who's found the relationship between religion and science and doesn't have anything to defend, because he's worked out there is nothing to defend. They're actually both quite complementary. I think from my point of view, and I've taken this a bit from Bishop Robert Barron as well, science and religion, they do similar things. They're both trying to unlock truth in one way or another. And they're very similar in the sense that when they do expose us to truth and to beauty, we actually become in awe of what we've found and what we've discovered. So Kanye West, in the way that he discovered God in his life, and obviously the beauty and the awe that he has and the humbling he's received from that, is, I would dare to say, is the same as a scientist who makes a massive discovery. They're also awed by it. They've seen the beauty in it. And I dare to say they're probably humbled by it as well, because all these questions we answer with science, they put us back in our place in the universe. And, we're not that big compared to the entire universe. And science tells us that too.
Oh, it really does. And even in my own discovery, I've always been a Catholic, but I never knew that I wasn't supposed to like science growing up. I didn't never occurred to me that it would be in conflict with my religion, because I just was naturally always curious about the world, and I was always trying to explore and discover things. I think Dad gave me a little microscope when I was 9 years old, and that was it. I mean, I had my first scientific instrument, it wasn't a big thing. It was just a very simple one. It's more like a toy one, but I had slides and I could see cells and things like that. And I was completely ignorant to the fact that you're not supposed to, you'd be interested in that kind of thing, because you're a Catholic, you're a religious person. How do you believe in God and believe in, and enjoy science at the same time? And the other thing is, I guess, like I mentioned, through my studies, I used to sit in my lectures, especially when we were doing quantum mechanics, which is looking at the atom and the placement of electrons in orbitals and all that kind of thing, and my mind being blown, going, wow, God, that's awesome. That's so cool. That arrangement is just so perfect. You've ordered it so well. I mean, far be it for me to congratulate God, but it's just that is really cool. And the more I learned, for me, it was just wow. And I became more convinced that science is the discovery of creation. And, we can come up with theories, we can come up with ideas, but really we're just discovering. We're discovering how things work. And that, to me, is the beauty of it. And I've never seen a conflict. And, I just get confused why people, sometimes I do get asked, but you're religious. How can you like science and believe in God? It's like, I don't know. I never really thought of it. But now I have the answer, and I'm exploring God's creation, and that's what I tell people. And that seemed to kind of, okay, that's fine. I get that kind of an answer from people. So I think that is really, the crux of it. A few days ago, I happened to come up, listen to a radio program, and it was an interview with Jennifer Wiseman, and she is the American, she's an American astronomer and astrophysicist with NASA, and she's actually the senior project scientist for the Hubble telescope. I think most people know about the Hubble telescope and amazing images of galaxies and amazing things that we see. A lot of the most famous pictures that we have of the Horsehead Nebula and that kind of thing come from the Hubble telescope. She's actually Christian, and she grew up Christian, and I could relate very well to what she was saying, because she said that as a Christian, she just thought that, it was a natural way to become interested in science, and science was exploring God's handiwork, in her words. And for her, like I mentioned before, the words of Scripture weren't meant to be a science text, but it's like a philosophical and theological background behind everything. And science isn't a good tool for answering philosophical questions, you know.
Yes.
So, but together they enrich one another. So they intertwine and they're not separate from each other at all. And so I just thought, well, that's really good, you know, coincidence. And so it's more than, you know, there are a few scientists out there, professional scientists, who are Christian as well and have there's no contradiction for them between faith and science, and they go hand in hand. So I think the people who have the most problem with it are atheists, I guess. They're a hardline atheist who don't really understand how you can do it. But, you know, I wish their eyes would be open, because it's such an amazing, such a beautiful thing to be able to experience both of them together than just be on one side or the other.
Yeah. So Brother Guy, he, speaking of the one side or the other, because he was questioned during that interview as well, and the interviewer did say to him, why do you think people find that there are issues between faith and science? If it wasn't in the past, why is it now? And he said, because people tend to be attracted to conflict, and he did mention, you know, Richard Dawkins, that, how there's that conflict kind of side, you know, where people are attracted to that kind of criticism and they take it on. And he said, actually, Richard Dawkins is probably more obsessed with religion than I am. You know, but that's the point he's trying to say. But there are actually, he said he knows a lot of atheists who actually have no issue with the fact that there are people who are religious and scientific as well. But it's only, like you said, the hardliners that really kind of push a narrative that faith and science don't go together.
And it's such a shame, because Richard Dawkins he's written some very good scientific books. Like I used to read them, when I was studying, and, you know, they're very good books. It's just that then I've heard interviews with him being, unfortunately, quite arrogant and rude, in my opinion, you know, so towards Christians. So it was if I'm ever going to use the words offensive, that's the time I was offended. But then I felt kind of sad, you know. I was like, you know, if only he knew the truth and beauty of joining, faith in God and science together, he'd be so much more fulfilled, and it'd be that hole inside of him that he has. You can see it, you know, would be filled, and he wouldn't be so nasty, you know. He'd just be happy. So,
we'll send him a copy of Kanye's album. I'm sure that will fix everything.
It will so mellow him out.
Sure. I see all these people we're listening to pray for. Pray for us too as well. Yeah. Oh, yes. All right. Is there anything else you wanted to say on this topic, Caroline?
I just think that that science and religion, no conflict whatsoever, you know, whatsoever. And if you haven't explored, I have to say, do you know the times where I contemplate God a lot these days is when I'm outside with my telescope and I'm explaining to my children, facts about the planets. Last night we had a beautiful session. There was actually Venus and Jupiter, next to each other. Of course, they're not next to each other, but in the sky they look like next to each other. And Venus was a lot brighter than Jupiter. And so I was explaining to Frankie, you know, that Venus is closer but brighter for some, you know, and Jupiter is smaller and less bright because it is so far away. And because, you know, I was explaining the gases and the reflection of the sun on Venus, and that's why it's so bright. But, and he was asking me all these questions, and it's just such a nice time to share with him. But then, it also comes down to, you know, him asking me questions about creation and all of that kind of thing. And so we can integrate that together and I can teach him. And, you know, for me, like you were saying before, it can make us feel really small and humble. And boy, do I feel humbled when I'm looking through my telescope and I see Jupiter, the massiveness of Jupiter with its own moons around it and, you know, and looking at pictures of galaxies and whatever else. I mean, how can you not believe in God? For me, it's to me, it's obvious, you know. Maybe to other people it's not obvious, but I just have, to me, it's just a natural thing and no conflict whatsoever. It's just one enriches the other and they go hand in hand.
Yeah. And just as a hook for anyone who's listening who's a bit unsure about the faith and science connection, I'll leave you with three things to Google. Google the Catholic priest who essentially gave us the Big Bang Theory. Google the Catholic nun who was responsible for some of the modern computer science that we have now. And Google the Catholic monk, I think it was, who's been labeled the father of modern genetics as well.
Yes, so,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so you gave it away, Caroline. Yeah, sorry. But anyway, yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, yeah, but that's just a scratch in history of how much Catholicism, let alone religion, has contributed to science as well.
And they've always been in my science textbooks, you know, to me. It was like, oh, brother this, father this. They're like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I know that some of the more secular scientists who are quite popular, who have been on talk shows, have actually credited, you know, some of these Catholic priests, nuns, you know, whatever else, for their contribution to science as well.
Yeah.
I forgot the name of what's his name. I'm going to remember it when the podcast is over. But he basically said, and he's not Christian or Catholic or religious, and he said, we actually credit what we know about science to the Catholic Church because it maintained science for such a long time in the past. And that was It was a great statement and mission for a secular scientist to make too. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So lots of food for thought there for our listeners today. So why don't we move on and let's talk about technology and apps.
The Enterprise computer system is controlled by three primary main processing cores, cross-linked with redundant MelaQuartz RAM stack, 14 kiloquad interface modules. Core element is based on an FTL nanoprocessor with 25 bilateral kilolaterals, 20 of those being slaved into the primary Heisentram terminal. Now, you do know what a bilateral kilolateral is.
Well, of course I do.
So, this might be a short discussion. We'll see how we go with this. I've got one to contribute today, and it's kind of an app. It's also a service, and it's the new Disney Plus streaming service that launched recently. So, it was a painful beginning, I have to say, though, because it came out a week early in the United States, and then, it came out 1 week in the United States, and then Australia, it came out 1 week later. So everyone in the United States was able to watch the first episode of The Mandalorian, which is the big ticket item at the moment, Star Wars series. They were able to watch that, and all of us here in Aussie land had to wait a week. And I had to avoid social media or be very careful about it because, you know, like people start talking after a couple of days. So I managed to go spoiler free and I won't put any spoilers in my discussion now. But basically the service, it's like the Netflix of Disney, really. It's got a great layout where it has at the top, it's got the banners of Disney, Marvel, Star Wars and National Geographic. I think that's all of them.
Yes.
And so basically you can click on one of those and, you know, all the content that exists, you know, comes up. So if you haven't watched the 22 Marvel movies in order, here's a way that you can do
it. That's the time for me to do it now.
Yeah. Now you can do it from your lounge room. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. If you're a fan of Disney movies, you know, there's a massive, massive archive. They've got some, you know, a lot of the classics and, you know, some of the things that we grew up with, Caroline. There's a whole lot of these Disney films. Yeah. I was actually going through going, oh, I forgot all about that one. I haven't seen that one in such a long time. So there's, great ones that you can sit and watch with your kids. And of course, you know, Star Wars, you know, my goodness, there's just so much content. and I've been watching The Mandalorian. So the third episode came out, well, at time of recording, the third episode came out. And I've been watching it with my family, with my wife and son. And I'm loving it. I won't say anything about it except to say that, you know, no spoilers, but just the storytelling in this and the way it's filmed is amazing. It's nothing short of amazing. The acting, there's one thing I will say is that, you know, Mandalorians culturally, they don't take off their masks, right? So we never see their faces. And for the, I forgot the name of the actor, but for the actor who's portraying the character of the main, of the Mandalorian, like, you see no facial expressions, but you get what's going on in his head, you know, emotionally, the way he's thinking and feeling. And I'm so impressed with the way that they put it together. That's all I'll say. But if you love Star Wars, if you're a classic Star Wars fan, you are going to love The Mandalorian. So,
and I have to wait because my husband has gone away for a little while, and I'm supposed to wait till he comes back because I know I'm not going to be allowed to watch any of it before he gets back. So I'm hanging out.
Yeah, but I'll share my account with you. Don't tell Disney, all right? But I'll share, and you can you can share it with lots of people. Fine. Yeah, we're family. Yeah, so yeah, we'll go with that.
So
if anyone wants to discuss the Mandalorian, you can just send your feedback to me on Twitter or what else.
Privately,
I should add, actually, why don't I just plug very quickly? SQPN just recently again at the time of recording, put out a new show called The Secrets of Star Wars. It's actually a show that used to exist. I remember. In the past when I think Dom and Father Roderick used to talk about, you know, Star Wars movies, and they used to sort of, before The Force Awakens, they were having discussions about rumors and about what was, you know, what was happening in the Star Wars universe. But that show is back, and it's being hosted by Father Andrew Kinstetter and his team. And I've listened to the first two episodes that they did, and I'm loving their discussion. These, you know, this team, they're fans, and they, it's like other Star Wars podcasts that I've listened to, but I love their perspective because there's also the Catholic perspective on top of it. But I just, for anyone who's a Star Wars fan, go ahead and listen to Secrets of Star Wars. If you haven't watched The Mandalorian yet, there are, I mean, they discuss, it's all spoilers. So, I mean, that's what they're doing. They're analyzing Star Wars content. So
I'm
going to
have a whole backlog of episodes of the show and the podcast to listen to.
Yeah, but can I say, a bit like Secrets of Star Trek and Secrets of Doctor Who, it's a great, they're great companion episodes to have or podcasts to have when you do eventually do go and watch something. So I would say subscribe to Secrets of Star Wars. And when you do eventually watch The Mandalorian, go back and listen to their discussion because it's a great complement to what you do watch as well. So, that's my little plug, and I hope people do go and listen to it. So why don't we, let's wrap the show up there before we finish up today in some of our follow-up. We just wanted to do a couple of things. So Caroline and I, and Jerry, who couldn't be with us in this episode, we wanted to just quickly pay tribute to Father Corey, whose show Let's Talk is going to be going on hiatus for a while. So they're just going to be putting on the shelf for a little bit until they reformat the show. But Father Corey won't be coming back as host because his responsibilities as a priest have increased a lot, and he's got a lot of demands on his time. But he's been the host of the show for, I think, about a year or a year and a bit. I think it was about 16 months is what he mentioned. But he did his last show with Dom Bettinelli as his guest. I just wanted to say a big thank you to Father Corey because I've really loved his show. His show has had an impact on me personally, the topics that he's talked about. And it was wonderful that we did get a chance at least to be, you know, guests as the Catholics of Oz on his show before, you know, before it all finished up. So a big thank you to Father Corey. Did you want to say anything as well, Caroline?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we are Father Corey fans, and we are, you know, kind of privileged that he really enjoys the Catholics of Oz too, because he's mentioned, you know, a few times that he's listened to us. So that's kind of an honor for us. And it was really fun to do an episode with him on Let's Talk. And hopefully we will still hear from him in a few podcasts here and there. And, you know, I think we'll have to line up getting him on our podcast next year, Lindsay. What do you reckon?
Open invitation to Father Corey.
Yes.
You are welcome on our show anytime. And if you do, if you'd like to be a guest and have a discussion, you know, see what it's like being in the Catholics of Oz world, talking about the topics that we talk about. We'd love to have you as part of the show one day. And for everyone who's listening, yes, Father Corey will still be present on SQPN shows. So you'll still catch him talking about Secrets of Star Trek, the Secrets of Doctor Who, and Secrets of Technology. You'll still hear him on those shows. So he's not going away. He's just he's just changing the way that he podcasts on the network. But I will miss listening to Let's Talk. You know, finding it there on a, I think it used to pop up on a Thursday for us here in Australia.
Yeah.
So
yeah, me too. Yeah, I really enjoy that one as well. Yeah.
Yeah, but thanks for the good work that you did do on that, Father Corey. So the other thing that we wanted to mention as well is for anyone who's listening, Did you catch the last episode of The Catholics of Oz? We were fortunate enough to have Carlo Broussard, who's an apologist at Catholic Answers, on the show, and we were talking about his book, which was, I keep saying Answering the Protestant Challenge, but it's what's it called? Meeting. Thank you. Meeting. That's in my head. It's always answering. Sorry. But yeah, Meeting the Protestant Challenge. So yeah, it was great to have him. And we were really fortunate that Catholic Answers, you know, reached out to us and helped us to have him on the show. So if you would like to hear about his new book, and what I like to do as well is when we have a guest on is find out about them as well. So he talks about how he became an apologist as well, so Catholic apologist, and joined Catholic Answers. So if you'd like to hear a bit about that as well, that's there as well. So that's all I've got. Caroline, anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, no, I mean, that was a really fun episode. It was like our own little Catholic Answers session.
Yes.
So, yeah, no, that was fun. So, I think we've had a really good discussion today.
Yeah. So before we do go then, we'd like to take a moment to thank our patrons who make it possible for us to create the Catholics of Oz. Today we want to thank Nicholas D, Richard M, Stuart J, Daryl M, and William C. Through their generous donations at sqpn.com/give, they make it possible for the Catholics of Oz and all of the other shows at StarQuest to continue. You can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. You can find our show notes at sqpn.com/oz. And also, we'd like to know your thoughts about what we've discussed today. So you can do that by going to facebook.com/StarQuestMedia and finding the post about this episode, episode 22, and just letting us know your thoughts about Kanye West, about faith and science, about Disney Plus. No spoilers, though, please, for anyone who's looking. But also, we have our own Catholics of Oz Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/CatholicsofOz, spelt O-Z. And we'd love for you to join us and find out more about and say more about the episodes that you've listened to as well. And you can also email us at catholicsofoz@sqpn.com. Caroline, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Lindsay. It was tons of fun.
And once again, I'm Lindsay Sant. Thank you for listening to The Catholics of Oz on StarQuest.